Hey guys, welcome to Hope It Helps. Today's guest is Amin Fadl. Amin is a certified SEA barista and film producer with over 6 years of experience across both industries. He has worked on multiple high-profile Hollywood movies and played a key role in the development and launch of a brand new coffee shop and concept in Toronto. During this episode, we discuss the reasons why men don't talk, the challenges of vulnerability, how limiting beliefs and imposter syndrome are affecting us, and most importantly, how all these factors can have a detrimental impact on our mental health. And the last message he wanted to share is love yourself and don't be afraid to go get help. Please join me in welcoming to the show my good friend, Mr. Amin Fadl. Hey guys, welcome to Hope It Helps. And my guest on the show today is Mr. Amin Fadl. Amin, welcome to the show, man.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thanks for coming on, bro.
Yeah.
So for the people who don't know, Amin is a very, very close friend of mine. And today's discussion, we wanted to talk about mental health, but specifically focusing on men's mental health, because I think that's an area that we kind of discuss ad hocly, but we don't really like go into it in detail. So it'd be interesting to like dive into all that kind of stuff. But before we get into everything, Amin, why don't you give all of us a little bit of background about yourself and we'll take it from there.
Sure. Well, first of all, I'm in no way like a professional in mental health at all.
Yeah, yeah.
I worked in film production for 5 years, 4 years, and then found a passion in coffee. So I became a Specialty Coffee Association barista.
Yes, you did. You did. Yes, sir.
Yeah. And lived half my life in Canada, half my life in Dubai, originally from Sudan. And yeah, I don't know what else. I'm the least qualified guy to be on this show.
No, not at all. It's first of all, thank you for sharing that with us, guys. Everything you see right now, not only from the coffee we're drinking to you know how the cameras and everything, it's all thanks to this guy. He's the one who helped set me up everything, and he's the one who got me into coffee. So big thank you, big thank you for that.
Yeah.
So let's start from, I guess, the beginning. So obviously we know now, I've gone through therapy, you know, people go through different things, and what we realize is your childhood has a big effect on your mental health and how you see things now. So I want to hear from you, what was that like from a childhood perspective, and how do you think things that happened then, no need for like specific details or stories, but you know, just the idea of your perception of mental health and where you are today?
Yeah, like I told you, I've recently been going through like weird, like I just started therapy actually for the second time, I guess. But yeah, I realized there's so many things that in childhood, like they weren't really, I don't know how to explain it really, but of course it plays like, sorry, I'm kind of answering a different question to your original question.
Answer as you like.
But
as you
like. Of course, it plays a huge role. And I've realized like there are a lot of parts of my life that, again, not going into too specific details, from childhood that were never either like diagnosed or never like taken into account or never really addressed, I guess you could say, that are like affecting me in my daily life, basically. Yeah. And as far as like men's mental health, like we were talking about, you just aren't, it's like almost cowardly in our, especially in our society, like to even talk about things like that. You know what I mean? So you never feel like you have that support, I guess. Yeah. Even at this age.
Yeah. Yeah.
By the way, I'm for all the viewers and listeners, I'll be wiping away a tear from this eye all the time. It's not that I'm crying. I have an eye thing, so please bear with me. Yeah,
it's okay. We're all bearing with you. But building on what you said, what's interesting is in your scenario and mine, and I think everyone's, is you don't. It's, I think, just from the way we grow up, I think now the new generation of, like, for example, us and, like, our future kids and stuff are going to have a completely different, you know, approach to this. Because now I feel we're the generation that, like, kind of went forward with this and started talking about it and started making mental health, you know, normal and, you know, therapies, going to therapy and stuff.
Yeah.
But it's weird that you go through life, like for me, it was at 27. Like my whole life, and for years from like 23 to 27, I'm like, I always had this thing in the back of my head. I'm like, you know, you should go to therapy. But I didn't know, I didn't have an answer. I didn't know like why. So I never did. It's not that I had a bad view of it. I just never did. And then at 30, when I moved back to Dubai, I was going through something and I got to a point, I'm like, you know what, you know, I feel like I've exhausted everything I can to do myself.
Yeah.
I really need help with this. And what's interesting is you go through life, for example, until that point, I had this blind spot that was affecting every area of my life and I had no idea.
Yeah.
And I don't know, like how do you like, it's so weird. It's so weird now that when you know, you're like, how did I not know before? You know, how was that? Did you have a similar like aha moment? Like, oh my God, like,
well,
this is what's going on.
Yes and no. By the way, a bit of background about me. My parents were very religious Sudanese, you know, but I grew up in Canada mainly. Like, it was a very different approach to life that I grew up with than they did, obviously. But I remember, it was always difficult to like talk to them about anything like that. But I think I was going through a lot in like high school when I was here. And somehow worked up the courage to like, you know what, I'm just going to do it. Like finally, I think it was maybe grade 9 or 10.
Mm.
And I was like, I finally worked up the courage. I'm going to just go for it. And I went and asked to go see a therapist at that age, which like no one, and I'm from Sharjah, like I was in Sharjah. So dude, no one was doing that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, I was, you know, you get told the whole like, oh, why, you don't need it, blah, blah, blah. Like, and then I went to a therapist. And we did like one session and the guy's like, oh, go home and draw shapes of what you feel. I was like, what do you mean? Like, he's like, so if you feel triangle, then put triangle. I'm like, okay, whatever. Anyway, I wasn't sold, but I was like, this is something. So I went, I wanted to go a second time and it was like, oh, you don't need it anymore. Forget about it. It's fine. And like,
This is what your therapist told you. Your parents are like saying you don't need it anymore.
Like, what are you talking? Like,
okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
But I put it off until like, because you get told that you're like, okay, maybe I don't need it. Like, maybe I'm just like dramatizing it or whatever. So I put it off until 28, 30 almost.
Mm.
Also,
mm-hmm.
33 now, but 28 or 30 or something. I went again to see a therapist. Again, it's like, it's so difficult. There were years that I was like, oh man, I should go. And you just don't do it. And then, yeah, I went again. I wasn't sold on it, but literally just going, I left there like on top of top of the world, man. Like I was so excited. I was like, I don't think she's doing a good job, but I did it. Like I was just excited.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I don't know. It's,
it's, and on like on that point, even myself at 30, when I told like my parents, I'm like, oh, I want to go to therapy, very similar, you know, questions like why, you know, why do you need it and so on. And it's hard to explain it to them. Now, I think we also have to be, I like to be fair, right? So obviously there's like us going to therapy and us doing these kind of things is things that we know we have to do. And this is something very foreign to our parents.
Yeah.
But I think given how they grew up and in their time, like therapy wasn't even like a word that, it's not even there, you know, as a potential option. Like in your case, for example, you said your parents are religious. So a lot of times you might fall back on like religion, you know, like just safe, like pray more and whatever, you know, that's what's going to get you through it. Mm. And I think, okay, yes, we're not going to get into religion, but it can have a place in all of this. But I don't think that's not going to help me address like the problem I'm having right now.
Yeah, it did play, like religion did play a part in a different way as far as my like, oh, I can't believe I'm saying this, but mental health journey, right?
Yeah. But I know
this is the reason.
I know why we're here. I know it's a corny word, but someone give me a better way to explain it, and like I'll use it. Yeah. But there isn't
100%. But so there were there was a little while where I was kind of on like I always call it bed rest, basically, like for like 2 years or whatever, doing medical stuff because there was like a whole medical condition thing. Mm-hmm. But I was like left alone with my thoughts a lot. And religion played a big part in like kind of being a detriment to my mental health in a way, because I started questioning, you know, I'm not a very good Muslim. You know what I mean? I don't pray five times a day.
But
Left alone with my thoughts there, like just in a room most of the time, I was like thinking about my relationship to religion or like my relationship to God and mm-hmm. whatever. It went like a really dark way, because you're kind of taught, like, you know, we're taught, I think, or at least I was taught Islam in a way that's like, this is right, this is wrong, like you go to hell if you don't, you know what I mean? Like, so when you start thinking about that, it hurts your mentality if you let it kind of seep in. But interestingly, after I went to like one therapy session, like I was talking about, which was right after that, and I was alone with my thoughts again, and I was thinking about it in a different way, where I was like, look, if I'm a good person and I do good for the world and I feel like I'm, you know, a positive impact on everyone that I mean, maybe it's talking big about myself, but like, I feel like when I leave a conversation or whatever, I have good in mind, like, you know, every time.
It's a good intention.
Yeah, there's good intention. Yeah. Like, I'm not ill intent. Like, there are people out there who are much more religious than I am that are much more of a detriment to humanity. And if you know, God can see those things, you know what I mean? Like, just because you pray or whatever, it's not. So I forgave myself quite a bit for that kind of thing. But I just wanted to say, like, it's religion played a huge part in a different way in my life for that.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people can relate to, you know, your example, especially in this part of the world. You know, obviously there's some families are more, you know, for example, like me and you are a very good example. Like, your parents are religious. My parents aren't religious, but of course they taught me about religion. You know, you have to fast and so on. And there was an emphasis on, like, you know, right and wrong, but I don't think it was to the level that, for example, you went through. I love what you said about like your, like, the conclusion you came to about yourself and about religion, and I share the exact same thing. You know, I'm a Muslim. Yes, I believe in God. Yes, by the way, I didn't even expect to be talking about this.
It's fantastic. I kind of took it and ran.
I love it. I love it because it's a new area to talk about. But you know, I have the same beliefs. If I'm a good person, I believe, you know, that at the end of the day, you know, I will be. Well, if I go to heaven, if I go to hell, whatever the case might be, my philosophy is, if I'm a good person, I do good things, I'm helping people, that's, you know, for me, that's enough.
Yeah.
You know, that's enough for me.
Yeah. As long as you hope it helps.
Man, it's so, I was telling you guys yesterday, and I was telling Lana, I'm like, it's so hard for me. Like, every time I say that now, it sounds like a joke.
Yeah.
You know, even though I genuinely mean it.
Yeah.
But coming back to the religion part about, when your perspective that this is wrong, you know, and I think I understand now how that could be a detriment to your mental health, because in that time that you were telling me about, you're like, I'm here, I'm alone, whatever, and so that means the fact that I'm not doing this, like, everything's just wrong, you know, I'm just doing everything wrong, and it can really start, kind of like you said, to like spiral into something a lot bigger than it is.
Yeah. Also, like, being in that position, like, I was in a lot of pain in that time, you know what I mean? So you're like, you start to be like, oh, well, why is God doing this to me? Mm-hmm. Or why, you know what I mean? Like, and I think a lot of people might have, like, good faith, I guess you could call it, like, you know, very devout Muslims or devout people, like, they can look at it and be like, oh, it's God's plan. Like, that gives them comfort, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which I respect, but for me, it was like, it was, you know, you start to think about that stuff, and then that's how that kind of spiraled into that. You know what I mean? Like, it was a dark moment that you just, I think actually really good came out of it, because I'm so comfortable with that.
Yeah.
Conclusion that I came
exactly.
to.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No, exactly. And so coming on to, so we talked a little about mental health and therapy. We're going to come back to therapy a little bit later, but I wanted to bring it back to like us and make it a bit like a bit closer. Now, this is something I was thinking as I was like writing the questions. I was like, this is a really interesting question. Do you feel you have the space to be vulnerable, like with us, like with your closest friends?
I mean, yes and no.
That's a good question.
Yeah, it's so hard to answer that because, like, I think what with the guys, right? Like, we have our crew of the guys.
Yeah, the guys, yeah.
So I think with our crew of the guys, it's more like if I'm down, I can call somebody to be, and they'll be like, oh, yeah, like, you know, oh, what are you talking about? Like, just give you crap about it. Mm-hmm. Or, like, you know, it's, you don't talk about it, but it's kind of, it's kind of more like, it's like a friendly bullying to get your mind off it, if that makes sense. It's sure. like that's yeah. the acceptable thing.
Yeah.
But to sit down and actually speak about, like, oh, I'm feeling like this, and like this is how I've, you know, this and that happened, and it's making me feel like that. I don't think we have almost any of that. Like, we had one time recently in the car where I was just like spilling my guts, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's, I mean, it's pretty rare. I feel like super rare.
Yeah, and that's something I was thinking about. Like, I, for example, I know even within, like, our friend group and within, like, life in general, you have different relationships with different people.
Yeah.
So there's some people you might, you know, there's someone I'd feel comfortable opening up to, and another person be like, oh, maybe he's not, you know, maybe this is not the right person. It's just about, you know, feeling. And coming on to what you're talking about that friendly bullying.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about this. I was like, guys and girls are very different. It's very interesting. Guys, our job or what we do is put each other down. And when I say it, but again, we put each other down to when, like, in general, but if it's, we're sitting down, it's real shit and we're having a proper conversation. No, like, you got your boys there. They're always there, you know, to support. So my question is, like, we always make fun of each other, and like, I love it. It's fun. It's like, it's light. And like, it's, I think it's a way we connect. But do you think also subconsciously that either makes it harder for us to be vulnerable with each other, or it, like, you know, is affecting our mental health more than we realize?
I'm sure it does. Like, I'm sure it doesn't help being vulnerable for sure. I think, like, especially, like, for example, in our group, there's this emphasis on, like, when you had like appendicitis,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then the amount, he's like, you're like, oh, my stomach hurts really bad, guys. Like, I don't know, blah, blah, blah. Like, and you were in a lot of pain, and all of us were like, ah, you pansy, you coward.
Yeah,
yeah. Oh, you're not coming out because you, you know what I mean? And then all of a sudden you were in the hospital.
Yeah.
We came to visit, but still, I bullied you quite a bit. So, but I mean, for me, I think it's healthy to have that in a way, because like, I love that. That's the way, like, I feel like that's the way we're trying to show,
like love, or yes, like, yes,
you know,
I get
make
that.
You laugh or whatever. But of course it's not ideal. Like, you'd like to be able to speak about it. But for example, for me, I don't often like to speak about my feelings with people or whatever.
True.
Unless it's like very select, limited few. But even the one person I speak to about these things is Farah. Like, it's, you know, it's a girl also. Like, the guys I go to most of the time for just, hey, bully me a little. You know what I mean? Like, but some people don't have that other person to talk to like that way.
Yeah.
You know? So
has having that outlet, for example, as like Farah, for example, as the person that, you know, you go to speak about these things, does that give, would you hope you had that with the guys, or it's enough that you have that, like, one person that, you know, this is the person I will, like, share these things to?
Dang, that's a good question, actually. I don't know, actually. That's a really tough question. I feel like it would be nice, I guess, to have with the guys, but also I almost, like, I see our, like, personally, I see our, like, guy time as, like, this sacred, you know, just fun zone, I guess. Whether or not that's healthy, I don't know.
I don't know either.
But, yeah, I mean, God, it really stumped me, actually. I don't know what I would prefer there. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine. I don't know is also an answer. Yeah. You know, it's not... That's a fair answer. You know, if there's something you genuinely don't know, it's fine. But this is something I've been thinking about, like, when it comes to, like, the guys. For example, if I came to you or you came to me or we went directly to one of our friends and like, bro, I have a problem. Even a week ago, we were gaming and you noticed or you heard like in my voice there was something up and you're like checking in on me and whatever. So like we do have that. It's just we need to put effort to do that. And on top of that, I don't know if you feel this, that even within our guys and we have that support, we have that love and we can, if you really want to have that conversation, we can.
Yeah.
I feel we all still within like the guys group have this, we want to be perceived in a certain way by, you know, like our friend, even though they're our closest friends, there's still that like underlying thing that's like, no, I want like them to think of me like this or to see me like this. Do you feel that way too? I don't know. I feel that I see that myself, but I don't, maybe you don't.
No, I see what you mean. But also one thing I've noticed especially in our group is like, I have real conversations with everyone, but alone. It can't be
as a group.
It can't be like two people there. It's you're not going to get anything out of there. Like, but I've had like really serious conversations with a lot of people in the group separately. But you know, we're maybe a group of like eight people, right? Like, I'd say like three people I've had really serious talks with. The rest, I don't think I could ever, because it's just not the dynamic.
Yeah, you know, yeah, sure,
I
sure.
I don't think
course.
They're there for that, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, no, of course. Yeah. And coming back to what I was talking about earlier, it's that interpersonal relationship we have with each person, you know? And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. As long as you have like someone to go to, that should be enough. But then I was starting to think, I'm like, okay, if based on our conversation and we agree that like we don't always have the space for that, you know, even with like our closest friends, you have to, like we were saying, you have to put a lot of effort. It has to be one-on-one and so on. I made a note here, except, you know, I have the one famous, that famous Amsterdam night that I will never forget. That was a very special night. And
that was so cathartic.
It
was like a full release of anything. It was almost like we were like, okay, for the next 5 hours, no judgments, everything's off the table, and we're going to tell each other the truth and how we feel and whatever.
It's
like beautiful.
Yeah, man, that was a really, I would love to have more of those kind of nights.
Yeah.
And my question to you is, what is the reason you think we don't have those?
I think it's just not, this might sound cliche, but I just think it's one of these things that it's like, it's not a bro thing. Like, it's not a thing guys do.
That's,
you know what I mean?
That's actually a very good point. Yeah.
Also, the majority of people in our group are married now. Like, I assume most people go to their wives for these kinds of things. Not that I would know single ladies. Anyway. I assume most people would go to their wives for that kind of thing and then go to the guys for having fun. You know what I mean? Like, most people have that one person at least.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But I think it's just the whole, guys just don't do that often. You know?
Do you think if it started happening more often, we would see each other in a different light or as more, what's the word? Even though we're not like trying to be like macho guys, whatever, like it would, like that, I guess let's call it in quotations, like that seem more feminine. Is that the right way to look at it? I don't know.
More vulnerable.
Vulnerable?
I guess. What's your question, Yanni, about it? Like, I don't.
Would having these conversations more often be, I know it can be a good thing, but could it also not be a bad thing, but could it make you see people as maybe as a guy, you know, like a bit more feminine or not as, do you get what I'm trying to say? I don't know if I'm explaining myself very well.
Like, you're saying, would it change my perception of one of the guys?
Yes, exactly.
No, for me personally, I'd see them as, I don't think this is the norm, I guess, but it's for me personally, I'd see it as like a more human thing. Like, you know, I've known you guys for 15 years, something like that, like the majority of you. So, it's, like, we know only so much about each other, no matter how much time we spend together.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
That's true, yeah.
Like, I couldn't tell you I can't tell you what most of my friends do for work, let alone like, you know what I mean? Like, so like that part of it has never been a part of our thing. But for me personally, like, I love, like, dude, I love listening to like sad songs and just sitting there sad. Like, yeah, it's amazing to me.
Yeah.
Like I would prefer to have those relationships with everyone, but it's just not, you can't even explain it. It's just not what happens.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm curious, because, you mentioned like most of the guys that are married, if there's something they want to talk about, they'll go speak to their wives, and like the guys is more fun time, which I do agree with. But what I've noticed in my experience is, yeah, there might be some things I can discuss with like I'll talk about with Lana and I'll get an idea of it. But there's nights when we had like boys night out and whatever, and that I love those nights because that's when people seem to share like, oh, what are they struggling with? Or what's the issue, whether it's work, you know, marriage, you know, like whatever the case might be. And those conversations I always leave with a different perspective than, you know, when I went in. And in your case, I'm curious, since you have like, okay, you have the guys, but then you have like that one person, which is, you know, like Farah. Now, you've had serious conversations with some of us, and obviously, and many with Farah.
Yeah. And Omar, I would say also.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, of course. Yeah. So do you... Omar, shout out.
In case he's watching.
So comparing those two, do you feel different afterwards? Like, do you feel you could, even though it's a safe space in both, do you feel you could, it's still the fact that it's like a girl, tell her more than you'd be comfortable telling us?
I think so. I think two things. One, I think the reason why it's those two especially is that they're not like, you know, Ahmad is one of us, I guess, but like he's not part of our like group that every day,
like the game, like the gaming group. Yeah.
You know, like I think most of the guys haven't seen him in ages, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we do have a lot of one-on-one time, he and I, and Farah and I have a lot of one-on-one time. Whereas with our group, I don't have that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But actually, funny enough, like Omar and I went to Ras Al Khaimah recently, and half the ride was us. Like, I swear, I'm 33. You'd think I was 10 years old. Like, the way we're just talking and messing around and whatever. But then all of a sudden, like, halfway through it, it's like, yeah, you know, I've been feeling really down about, like, this and that. It was, like, just this crazy,
just
weird...
Just a switch completely,
And then immediately after, you can just switch back, like... Whereas I think with Farah, for example, it's more like, oh, let's go have dinner. And then we'll have dinner and, like, sit there and talk about real stuff and be serious and... You know, so that's, I think, what's different. Both are good to me.
Yeah, of course.
It's just a different approach to it, where, like, I can talk this way with somebody, like one of the guys, and then immediately after, like, just, you know, whatever, poke him in the ribs or some stupid fight. You know, like, it's that's the thing. I don't know. Yeah, I do think, though, that it being a girl, I guess, is different.
Yeah. Because, as for example, in my case, that would be, like, Yasmin. Yasmin would be like my Farah, the person that I would speak to about, you know, certain things. And she probably, besides Lana, knows me more than, you know, like anyone in the world. And I don't know what it is. It's just like the fact that it's a girl, like I always sitting with her, I always get a different, like a perspective that I feel I can only get speaking to her. Do you feel the same way?
I think so. I get a totally different perspective than if I were to talk to any of the guys, for sure.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, it's just, there's more of a sense of, like, a duty to care.
Yeah.
Rather than...
Oh, you said it perfectly. Yeah.
Rather than, like, a duty to get your mind off it, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
you know what
I
mean? Like, it's more of an approach of how to tackle this thing and, like, what to think, like, you know... It's just a different approach to things, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think, because I was going to ask you, like, what's that, you know, what's that difference and why? And I think you said it perfectly. It's that care.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, girls are more caring than guys. This is just a...
Guys are, like, idiots.
You know, yeah, we are. You know, it's just the fact.
Yeah.
But given so, now reflecting on, so we talked about your childhood. We talked about, you know, the last, you know, couple of years. Talked about some of the instances that you went to therapy. You mentioned that you find it hard to, you know, open up open up to people and get help. Do you feel now, like, as I feel like I've noticed a shift with you, especially over maybe the last two, three years, that now like you are speaking more, and so do you find it easier now, or is it something like you still need to put a little, but once you open that door, it's easy, khalas, you know, the thing like runs through.
I think there's kind of two things to this, which is, one, I, as you know, I have like really, really bad anxiety. Like all the time I'm anxious. And I'm terrible in I'm actually pretty good in social situations, but in my mind, I'm like, oh, I'm doing so terribly and whatever. So I think as a kind of defense mechanism, I started just spilling information to people where I'm like, oh, here's the truth about me. And then like people would react to that and respond and whatever. It actually makes for great conversations. Like, so if someone's asking me about something, I kind of probably overshare, but it leads to more, like it leads to just better conversation for me. And I'm like, God, this is the stuff I like to talk about. So why not, you know? But funny enough, with the closest guys to me, we don't do that, you know?
Yeah. And that's the thing that I think about that a lot. Even though I know like you, I can go and do that, I feel like there needs, like we need to kind of have like round table nights, like everyone come and like guys, let's just like everyone like talk. I don't know why, like it's, I think you'd feel, I feel, especially from like the nights out that we have when it's just the guys, like when I leave, I'm like, man, that felt like amazing. Yeah. You know, even if I didn't say anything, just hearing the guys and like trying to help or like give feedback or whatever the case might be, like I always leave those nights feeling like closer to you guys, and I like feel like I understand you now a little bit more.
Yeah But we don't see each other, man, like, you know what I mean? We even just getting together, like when we got together for my birthday, there wasn't too much real stuff being talked about,
sure,
but everyone had such a good time. You know what I mean? Like, it's just you don't have to specifically talk about things or whatever. Or if you do, that's great. But I don't think you could possibly, like, we game a lot.
We do.
See each other. We just, like, we're on the game. We talk every day, basically.
Yeah.
But, man, we're, like, sitting down for dinner together, it's just amazing. Like, and sometimes real stuff comes out, you know, but otherwise, it's just like this beautiful, like, it's almost like you're transported back to being, you know, in school or whatever. Like, it's fantastic, you know? Yeah. But I don't think something like that would ever happen as far as sitting around a round table with a bunch of guys talking about real stuff. You would never be able to, at least with our guys, you would never be able to do that, man. It just wouldn't happen.
Interesting.
I don't think it would. Imagine us, like 5-6 of us, let's say, sitting around being like, let's talk about our emotions.
Yeah.
Like, it's just not going to happen ever. Like, you think it would?
I don't disagree with you, but I think if, obviously, if like I came out and said, like, I know what the initial reaction is going to be. Of course. I came out and said like, guys, you know, let's get around, you know, let's have like a round table. Let's all talk.
Yeah.
I'm like that. I've just given everyone a nice layup to like, you know, attack, you know, which is our normal thing. Yeah. That's what we do. Like, oh, bro, what, you want to round table pizza, whatever, like whatever, you know, you know, it's just going to go like that. But I think it's doable, but it will take effort. And I, like, on the top of my mind, we're not going to mention names. I know who would come and I know who wouldn't, you know? For and sure. I think that's the best we're gonna be able to hope for.
Yeah, I guess so. I just think it's again, it's like the guys, not the guys like our guys, but generally guys.
Guys,
not being able to be vulnerable in that way.
Yeah,
where even if somebody's going through stuff like in our group, probably they would be like, man, that's a stupid thing or whatever.
Do you think so?
I think so.
Do you think that would be the reaction if it was something like really like serious?
For yourself, you mean?
Like if you came and you told us like, no, like, you know, guys, I'm really going through something. I'm really struggling. do you think you'd still get that like a jokey bully reaction, or you think like it could, because I think if when it gets to something like that,
no,
that's when everyone comes together.
That's different. You know? I thought, yeah. Here's what I thought. I thought you were saying like, hey guys, let's meet up once a week to talk real stuff.
Oh, like that. Okay.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like not, it's like a planned out, like, let's meet up to speak about our emotions.
Mm-mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If one of us was going through, like, I know that all of the guys that were, you know, we talk to every day and whatever, I'd trust any of them with my life. I'd
yeah,
do anything for these guys. You know, like even there's people from back in the day, school days, that I don't really talk to at all. And I'm still like, I'd do anything for this person, no matter what. So if it was like something that serious that someone came to us and was like, guys, I'm really going through this thing, blah, blah, blah. We'd probably go out for dinner and talk about it. I'm sure.
Sure.
You know, like, or do something, you know?
Mm.
Yeah. I think we'd all be there for each other if it was something really serious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's the problem.
Mm.
I think that's where the issue is. Like, yeah. And like, I know I have that support, you know, whatever, but for me to have access to that and for it to get for it to be received and responded in the way that I would want, like, help, it has to be like, yeah, that's, and I think yeah. that's the problem. It'd have to be problem.
Like life or death. Like,
exactly. Yeah. yeah. And I think yeah. that's the biggest problem.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the whole thing is like, you know, your problem's not a big problem. Like, what are you crying about? Whatever you know, like,
yeah.
So I don't think a lot of people would even think about coming out with whatever they're thinking about unless it got to that point.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Like, sure. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I think this is why you probably see like so many people commit suicide and stuff is like they feel like they can't talk about this thing. You know, I'm sure guys, it happens all the time.
Mm.
I don't know any statistics about it, but yeah, man, like I'm sure the statistics are insane for that.
Yeah.
That guys just can't even speak to anybody. Like, you feel like, you know, I've heard people tell me, like, friends of mine who are like, they can't tell their. So somebody came to me once and told me that they don't want to speak to their wife about something because they don't want her to have that perception of them.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I don't want her to think I'm not that much of a man or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like that, like, imagine being in that situation and also the guys are like, you know, oh, what are you, pansy?
Yeah,
you
yeah.
You know what
yeah.
I mean? Like, it's,
yeah.
It's rough, man.
Yeah. It can feel, have you had that, is that what you've experienced? Have you felt like growing up, besides like the parents aspect, did you feel because of the dynamics of like our friend group and like the people in your life that you felt like isolated for a while?
I don't think so. I didn't, because of this whole, you know, what do you call it? A stigma, I guess,
mm-hmm.
of about therapy and talking about your feelings as a guy or whatever. I think that was more the reason than anything else. Like, it wasn't so much like, oh, I feel like I can't tell my friends this. It was more like, oh, you know, like man up or like, oh, people have bigger problems or whatever it is.
I hate that one.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I hate that one. I don't give, like, with all due respect, I don't give a fuck if you have a bigger problem. Yeah. That doesn't help me.
It's all relative to yourself.
Exactly. Like, yeah, yeah.
Everybody's problems are massive to themselves. Like, mm-hmm. it's,
yes.
Yeah. But, yeah, I don't think that was mainly the reason. It was just more like, we don't do that. Like, you don't go talk to people about it.
Yeah, know? Yeah.
And like I said, back in the day, it was like, oh, you don't need therapy. Like, what are you talking about? Like, that's juju.
Yeah, you know? It's bad juju, yeah. Yeah. So now, you've been to therapy like a couple times. Reflecting on the experience you've had so far, what, I know you had probably an idea or a perception of therapy before you did it. And now that you've done it, like, I know it's been sporadic, but you had a couple of, you know, experiences. Mm. How do you look at it? How do you look at it now? And do you look at it as something that, especially maybe guys, you like, should be pushing themselves to go to and do, you know, even though it's hard, like, go do it. Because especially a therapist is a person that has, It's not like your wife. It's not one of you like your boys where you have that thing. It's a complete stranger that you can just like, blah, you know?
Man, like, I told you, like, the first time as an adult that I tried therapy, the therapist I thought wasn't great. Like, they didn't kind of, like, she was basically trying to teach me, like, cognitive behavioral therapy, yeah, like CBT.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I wanted to talk about stuff and, like, I feel like I'm not at that point to start doing that. Like, I want to dig deeper or whatever. But still, I was like, just doing it made me feel so good.
Yeah.
And funny enough, with the therapist I just started seeing now, he did, so we booked like a 1 hour thing, and I just rambled on. Like, I just kept going. I was like, and then this happened in my life, and then that, and then the thing. And he's like, oh, okay, well, I think we're going to need another session soon to like complete just learning your life story. Cause I was like spilling it all out. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I was so excited to talk to this person that I gave him everything. Just here it is. Just all this stuff that I've not talked about to most people or whatever. It was like just fantastic. So like, even just to have that one person outside of anyone.
Yeah.
For me, it's beautiful, man. Like, I know this person's not going to be at the dinner table with me next time. You know, like, it's
you don't have that worry
at all. Mm. Yeah. But I think maybe there's still some people who would be like sheltered a little or keep some stuff away from that person. But that's their job, is to get that out of you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
And I think it's interesting that you felt comfortable to, because sometimes when people, like, exactly like what you're saying, you'll go to a therapist. But even that person, I'm still not giving you the full story, you know? And that is, I always advise people, I'm like, look, if you're going to therapy, two things. Number one, it has to be something that you genuinely want to do. Not like me coming to telling you like, oh, I mean, go do therapy, then you go do
it. Yeah.
It's not the same. And it's not going to work. And also, if you're going to do it, like, you have to be ready, I think, mentally. Like, it's a process. It's going to take work. And if you don't tell him everything, it's like a doctor. Like, if I'm going to a doctor, I'm sick. If like, and they ask you, like, are you on medication or whatever? Yeah. If I'm not giving you my, like, full story, yeah, you're not going to be able to help me the way I need you to help me, you know?
Yeah. I 100%. Like, but that's, again, like, that's the best thing, is that, like, even if you are not giving them the full story, they're like, there's something they're not giving me the full story on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
the dude I go to now is like so good at that, or like so good at, like, it's so conversational.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, like, he's, you don't even, you almost forget you're in therapy.
Yeah.
And then there'll be something where he's like, you know, I told him about something that happened, for example. And then he kind of questioned me on like why the other person did something, let's say, or like he just kind of guided me to something. And I was like, well, no, because like that person did so-and-so and the way they grew up also. And he's like, oh, so you're still making excuses for them, even though they did this thing. And I'm like, well, yeah, I guess so.
Mm.
That's like a moment where I kind of was like, oh yeah, I am in therapy. Like, I forgot that, you know what I mean?
But, yeah.
Yeah, man, they do a great, if you have a good therapist, they do a great job of just, like, just little things that they pull out of you just without you even realizing it. It's fantastic.
Yeah. And obviously there are different types of therapy. One thing I think about when it comes to therapy, because you've had different experiences with different therapists, I'm like, I always tell people, it's so important that you like your therapist, that you feel that this person understands. Because, for example, you had the guy when you were younger that tells you, oh, go draw a fucking triangle. And you had the other one when that was just trying to straight away, without hearing your story or, you know, understanding it.
Yeah.
You're trying to give you like tools and stuff. But like, if I'm not there yet, or if I don't know, how are you going to guide me? And that's the problem. Because if there's someone that was really hesitant to go and they finally went and it was a terrible experience, there's a good chance they might never go back. So kudos to you for continuing to like going out of the way to try to find that person, because it's so important.
Dude, I couldn't wait. I was so excited. Yeah. I was like, oh, I can't wait to get started. Like, you know, also like there's, so with this guy, right? Like I talked to him, there are times in my life I've like felt depression and I've felt so and so, whatever, like really, really down. And I talked to this guy now that's a therapist or psychiatrist, really. And he's like, he heard my whole story and stuff. And he's like, you sound like, it sounds like everything you're talking about has stemmed from undiagnosed ADHD. You know what I mean? Where I'm like, oh, but I don't have like the energy and whatever. You know, like I always thought of ADHD as like bouncing off the walls and he's like, man, like every single issue or like, well, I mean, there's like traumas and whatever, but
yeah,
he's like, everything seems like it can be explained by ADHD. And he's like, have you ever been tested for ADHD? I'm like, no, never. Like, he's like, even as a kid, all this stuff you're telling me, it seems like a kid with ADHD, basically. I'm like, oh, okay, well, cool. So like, he's kind of testing me for that now.
Okay.
But it's something that never even came up once, and like yeah. no doctor was yeah. even like, oh yeah, you know, it could be this.
Mm.
And, you know, again, with like our upbringing, I guess I could say, I don't think my parents would have ever thought, like, if I have like bad grades, they wouldn't be like, oh, you know, maybe it's something with this or that. You have bad grades, you're punished, you're whatever. And as a kid, you're like, oh, I don't, you know, I tried, I don't know, like, you know what I mean? So these are things that, like, again, like, I just went to this therapist to like kind of talk about things, whatever, to this psychiatrist, I guess. I was like, oh, you know, I'm having this trouble, whatever. And he's like, oh, it seems like everything might just be this one thing that you could have been treated for that now, you know, it maybe it is, maybe it's not, who knows, we'll see after the tests and stuff.
Yeah.
But like, just that little thing is like, oh, like this could have been solved so long ago that like, you know, not all my problems, but yeah, it's just no doctor that you go to, like a medical doctor proper, you know, a physician, I guess you could call them, is going to be like, oh, your leg's broken. Like, have you checked for ADHD or like, you know what I mean? Like, it's not like that. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
It sounds like you're a little bit frustrated with the fact that like this, like I could have, this answer could have helped me. Like, save me, looking back, like, at your life or since you were a kid.
Yeah.
So, like, just that understanding, because then you, the beauty about therapy, and this is why I tell people, is you're going there because you're looking for an answer.
Mm.
And it's, as a therapist, it's our job to guide, not, like, give you the answer, is to guide you for the answer. And once you have, like, even I can see in your face, like, the fact that you just have this now, you know about this thing, I'm like, yeah. Oh, it could have been this. It doesn't, like, I feel like when I found out, for example, in my situation, I always felt like my whole life, I'm like, whether it was in relationships, whether it was in work, family, I'm like, Khalid always, my belief was Khalid always has to prove himself more. Mm. Me and you, for example, are applying for a job. No, you would need 2 interviews to get the job. No, Khalid, he needs 8.
Mm.
For example, you know, it was always... And I realized that going to therapy, I'm like, my belief my whole life, and I think it's not fully gone, but I'm much more aware of it now, is the belief that I'm not enough.
Mm.
And when I found that out, I'm like, fuck's, I'm like, oh my God, bro. Like, I can't believe, like, this is, I've been feeling this the whole way, and I never knew what it was to tackle it.
That you're not enough, yeah. Basically. Yeah, yeah. I mean... Dude, I'm riddled with, you know, I've self-diagnosed with a million different things, because I love just kind of looking at stuff and be like, I probably have this and that. But like, to do with my anxiety, whatever else, like, there's always been this imposter syndrome that's like overwhelming, man. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah,
amen
to that, man. Fuck.
Yeah, like, man, I got a college degree. Like, I went to AED, I did film production. Like, I got into film sets for 2-3 years straight in the UAE, where they're all like Hollywood shows and movies, and I keep getting hired by different people and whatever, but still literally like my heart's pumping, like someone's gonna figure out that I shouldn't be here. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like, dude, I'm more qualified than most of the people, and still I'm like, you know, and not only am I more qualified, but I've done the work and I know the people now. Mm. But still, I'm like, oh man, like, when are they going to figure it out? That, like,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Even coffee. I did SCA Barista Fundamentals and Intermediate, which is like super high certification. 2-3 years being a barista, if there were two people or three people in line, I'm like, these people are going to know that I'm not, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, I start getting anxious that way, which then affects my work in the negative way. Like, it's, yeah, I totally understand the whole you're not enough thing is like, and I think that's super common, by the way.
Yeah, very.
I think a lot of people have that issue.
Yeah.
For sure.
And I think that I think the biggest reason a lot of people have that is honestly fucking school.
Yeah.
Because that's the place where, like, the grade almost defines your worth. Mm. So, and then your parents would be like, oh, besides the fact whether you, if you got a bad grade, like, in, for example, what you were saying, like, oh, a bad grade, you're bad, you're punished, whatever. Like, it, sorry, that's not helpful.
Yeah.
Okay. And school was always just, you know, you don't get good grades, you're a bad student. That means you're a failure. That means all these things. So I think it all stems from, I told my mom when I was like in high school, like I got good, one thing, I got good grades, and she's like, yeah, whatever. Like, so happy, whatever. And then I got bad grades and she was like, you know, shitting on me. And I told her, I remember specifically, I told her, like, listen, you can't show me like all this love when I'm doing well and then not do it when I'm not doing well. It's not fair, you know? And it does have a very big effect on how you see the world and how you see life.
I think the big thing for me growing up, and I think this is a common theme in this part of the world, especially like the, to do with the grade stuff. And I think this is what kind of causes a lot of people to have this imposter syndrome or feel like they don't know, like they feel like they don't deserve what they have or what they don't belong. Is I grew up in a way of a lot of blaming and shaming you for certain things. Mm. So when you feel that shame about being, you know, I forgive my parents for everything.
It's of course.
They grew up in a different world, you know?
100%.
But when you feel that as a kid, that it's like, oh, this is your fault. Like, that's on you. You start to feel this, like, or at least for me, I started to feel this, like, oh, I'm the problem. You know what I mean? Like, it's my fault that this is happening. Or like, oh, I'm, you know, that's why I'm so afraid to mess up at work, is like, oh, it's going to be my fault. Like, I can't let it be my fault. That's the important thing, which is like, it's awful. It's really terrible. But like, I think that happens so often here where like, it's your fault. It's rather than, let's see, oh, like, well, why did that happen or whatever? Like, that's the kind of thing that this whole like ADHD thing, if I have it, who knows if I do, we'll find out, can be solved by that thing where it's like, oh, you're having a lot of trouble, like in school, blah, blah, blah. Let's see if, you know, is anything wrong, whatever, like take you to a mental health specialist or a therapist or something like that. Like, where you could have maybe found out then that I have this ADHD issue, that like my focus isn't great and so and so, like, you know, that's so I think it's better to just be like, hey, let me try to understand this kid rather than the blaming and shaming and whatever else. Like
I think about kids a lot in the sense that like, how am I gonna parent my kid? And there's like, I already see in myself, I'm like, there's a lot of good things I'm going to do. But I also like, no matter what, like, it's people raising people. So even our kids, even with all this mental health knowledge, we're going to fuck them up in a different way. Like, it's just how, it's just the way it works.
It's just a matter of damage control. That's all it is.
You said it perfectly.
I've heard it a million times, people saying like, oh, you're going to mess up your kid. The question is how much and like in which way, basically.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you can mess them up in a way that they're still like, oh yeah, I believe in myself, I love myself, I do this and that, but they're still messed up in some other way. It's just how much can you do that? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think finding that balance is the hardest thing. And I think in life, you're always trying to balance is this magical place that doesn't exist, because once you find on one way that you find balance in one thing, means you've unbalanced something else. and you're just continuously going, like, you know, it's like a seesaw, like left, right, and it can be exhausting sometimes, man. I swear.
It's a scam, bro. I swear. It's just like, just everybody's messed up. You just got to figure out what you're messed up in and fix it, or like not even fix it, just learn to live with it and figure it out.
Yeah,
I guess. Yeah.
And so now for you, I'm guessing you're gonna continue like with this so when I was doing therapy, I got to a point that there was two things. There was two reasons why I stopped. Number one was financial, and because it's not cheap. And number two was I felt like this is the problem. This is my issue with like psychotherapy. Is there's no. I can easily tell you if I want to, like, if I'm the therapist, you don't know anything, do you? Okay. I can come tell you, I mean, you know, I think you need 100 sessions and, you know, that will fix the problem. You know, I can, and that, so there's a lot I like about psychotherapy, which is, you know, the talking aspect and helping you learn all these things. But I never, maybe I'm wrong. I could be completely wrong. But my perspective is there's no roadmap, you know, like how many sessions, like this is what's going to, I know it depends on session to session, depends on the person, depends on the time, but there's no like clear roadmap on how like you're going to tackle this. That has always been my frustration with it, but I don't know what you felt.
My thing is, I don't think there's, like, as far as mental health goes, I don't know if there's anything that you could be like, oh, we'll do 10 sessions and you'll be cleared. You can't just decide that. Like, and there's still problems in your life afterwards. It's not like you're gonna, you know.
It's not like a magic pill.
Yeah, it's not. It's not like this thing that's like, you know, oh, I broke this bone. Okay, put it in a cast, and 3 to 4 weeks. I don't know how long it takes that, but it'll be healed. You know, you just keep going. When you feel like it's the case, that's why you have to find somebody you're comfortable with. It's like, I like now with this guy. I feel comfortable. It's only been 2 sessions now. Mm-hmm. I'm going for a third in like 2 weeks. By the way, yes, very expensive issue. But it's because I'm comfortable with him and I'm like, oh, he's saying things that no one's told me these things.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, and he's very good at making it seem conversational, which I think I need, you know? So I'm going to see where it leads. And I think the goal is, over time, to need it less, if that makes
sense. Sure. Yeah.
Like this beginning.
It's a tool.
Yeah. This beginning part is intensive. Like, we'll see what the outcome is in the next, like, I'd say month, let's say. And after that, it's like, oh, okay, I feel like hopefully I can get to a point where it's like, you know what? I've been feeling kind of down lately. Maybe I'll go to do a therapy session or whatever. And I know the guy to go to. And it's like, you have this. You know, call it a friend, I guess.
Yeah, outside, like a safety net kind of thing.
Yeah, that you can just go and be like, hey, like, nice to see you. It's been a while. Oh, what's going on? Like, what, you know, you have this whole background now.
Yeah.
Which that's the hope for me, is to get into that kind of like relationship with my therapist.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't think you're ever cured. You're never cured.
Yeah. Like, and I think that's such a good point, because even when I did my therapy, I finished it and I'm like, I felt at the time like, boom, solved.
Yeah.
Easy. You know, whatever, done. Yeah. I felt 10 million times better. I had a brand new perspective, but here I am like 3 years later. And I've been considering recently, maybe I need to go again. I don't know. It's, you know, there's up days, there's down days. So, you know, we're trying to figure out.
Yeah.
Do I want to? Do I need it? You know, it's a personal decision at the end of the day. It's not like I'm scared to go. It's just that I'm like, can I? I'm the kind of person, I'm like, I want to try to figure this out myself before I have to do that. If I can't, I'll do that. It's my like last resort. And maybe that's wrong.
But
I don't
know. That's the dude thing. That's the guy thing of being like, oh, I should try to tackle this myself or whatever. Like, if you're reaching a point that you're, I think, considering therapy, I think you should go to therapy. Like, that's what it is. Instead of being like, you know, I'm considering therapy, but maybe I'll fix it. But then you go about your daily routine pretty much the same way. Or
that's a good point.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, very good point. Yeah.
Why not? Like, you could do like a 30-minute session for like $750, I think, with my guy. Like, it's pricey, but literally going for like 30 minutes and be like, I don't know what's been going on. Like, I just feel this way, whatever, blah, blah, blah. As long as you have that repertoire with this person from before, I guess. But
of course.
Yeah, it's just, why not, man? Like, we try to burden ourselves with like fixing ourselves. Just, it's like anything else. Go to the doctor. Oh, I feel a little bit weird. Okay, I'll go to the therapist. Like, I'll go to the doctor, you know?
Yeah.
Why not?
I think what you said, I never even thought of it that way, but, and I'm going to use this now. I'm going to take that quote. You know, if you're considering therapy, you probably should just go.
To therapy,
just
yeah.
go. You know, and I love the example that you said is like, oh, I'm feeling a bit sick. Okay, yeah. Where do I go? The doctor. And it's very normal. It's like nothing. It's not like, oh, maybe I should try to get healthy myself. No. I'm going to go to the fucking doctor.
Yeah, like, dude, if my leg's broken, I'm not going to be like, oh, maybe I can fix it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you don't do that. If you're messed up, you go to the doctor, dude. Like, simple, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Coming back to, we're going to just round off the conversation for today on the one thing you said, which is imposter syndrome. Mm-hmm. Now, this is, when you said that, I'm like, uh-huh. Okay, so I don't know. So right now with the work that I do, I feel like I have imposter syndrome. Now, my solution, or from my experience, how I feel to tackle that is this. So when I first started my podcast, and I tell people like, and I had like one episode, but like two, like, people ask me like, oh, what do you do? I'm like, yeah, I'm a podcaster. When I say that inside, I'd be like, you know, I'd cringe. I'm like, what are you saying?
Yeah.
I always feel like imposter syndrome comes from the place that, or in my perspective, I'm like, I need to work and earn it for it to go away. So for example, when I first started, that's how I felt. But now that I've done over 90, almost 100 episodes, now that's completely gone. You know, yeah. I am, because I have the body of work to do that. But I don't think there must be another way. I haven't found it myself. That's what's worked for me, and that's why I still may be with the work that I do, even though I've, alhamdulillah, had a good start. I think success and putting work and building a body of work, that's how I overcome it. But there must be a better way to tackle it from the beginning, because you feel that for a while, and it's a shitty feeling. It's not nice at all.
Yeah. Well, I don't have the answers to these things, obviously.
No, of course. Yeah, we're just talking about it.
But also, like, everything is to do with how you, like, I'm a big believer that, you know, nature versus nurture. Of course, everything has a part to play. But, like, there are people out there who just, you know, their first day of deciding, like, you know what, maybe I'll start a podcast. They can go tell people they're podcasters and be like, yeah, I'm a podcaster and I'm going to do it. You know what I mean? But that's not me. That's not how I am. So I don't know if there's like a cure to it, but again, you got to learn to like deal with it, because it's going to be there, right? Like, whatever you do that's new, you're going to be like, it feels weird to say this, or like, you just got to just do it. And I think routine is what helped me. Routine's what helped you. Where when I was doing the barista work, dude, I did not believe in myself, man. Mm. Like, this was like a specialty place, like really excellent coffee and whatever. And I'm like, I don't deserve to be here, like, and I paid thousands of like dollars or dirhams, I don't remember, to do these courses that most people have never done, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And I'm like, I don't deserve to be here. I don't deserve, like, people are gonna find out, man. I used to mess up the espresso because I was trying to get it perfect when like it was already in probably the best place it was gonna be, but because I don't believe in myself, I changed that. Like, it's but over time, the routine of it all, like, I started to be like, yeah, that's nailed. You know, like, two shots of espresso into the day, I'm like, yeah, got it, nailed, done.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's what it is. It's just, you got to keep getting up and do, oh, God, it's so cheesy. Got to keep getting up and doing it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Every time you fall, you got to get back up. You know what I mean? Yeah.
You know, it sounds like the way you got over it is similar to the way I got over it, through like experience and with time and with doing it so many times. I thought, like, now you have I have the confidence to say that because I have the body of work to back that up. But coming like on what you just said that there about like, yeah, try and push or whatever. Look,
get up back on the horse.
You know? Know, like, look, all these things, all these quotes, all these flashy sayings, whatever, on one side, like I've become cynical now about them. Mm. I believe them, and what you're saying is true, and I get it. But why?
Listen to the way I said it.
Yeah. Like even the way you said it, you feel like, I don't know why. And I think those kind of sayings they're great, whatever. But when it comes to the personal development world and when it comes to mental health world, you're not like all of these flashy, you know, flowery things.
Yeah.
There's fucking reality that you have to like bring into this. So it's like, get up and try your heart. It's like, it's almost incomplete.
Yeah.
That's how I see it. I don't know. What do you think?
I think it's two things. One, we didn't have the mentalities that I think we have now about mental health when we were growing up and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So you, again, this guy's thing and the bros thing, you know, like you'd never say that sentence. Like I said with, my mental health journey. Like, no, it's just, it's my mental health journey. But I can't say that seriously, you know?
Exactly. Like,
and this might be a very confusing thing to say, but the thing exists whether or not we call it that. You know what I mean? So like my mental health journey, like I am going through a mental health journey, whether or not I say the words my mental health journey. You know what I mean? So I don't know. It's just stupid, you know, just guy thing, I guess. Or like, it's also just sounds very cheesy. It just sounds like,
yeah,
you got to get back on that horse and keep kicking, you know, or whatever. Yeah. It's like, No, it's more like the inside joke for only us, basically.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's just, I think especially the ones that like dust yourself off and try again or whatever.
Mm-mm.
It's an Aaliyah song. It's not. Mm. Anyway. We hear it as this cliche every time.
Yes, exactly. You know what I mean? Yeah.
You hear it as a cliche.
Yeah.
But if I were to say I can't even say that. I was going to say, yeah, man, just keep trying, you know?
Yeah.
Dude, just forget it, man. Just do your thing. Just keep trying.
But
get back on that horse.
Something that you said that I never considered on why we probably feel that way about like when we say these kind of things is I never related it back to like how we grew up.
Yeah.
And that, and they also brought in, you know, that guy aspect to it. And I think that is why I never thought of it in that way, but I think you're right.
I think we think of most things in the sense of our guy group where we're like, if I were to ever say like, yeah, you know, because my mental health journey, imagine the
Imagine you just put a target on your back. Yeah.
The amount of like, your mental health journey. Oh, you enjoy your mental health journey. Like you'd be just, it would be like years of it.
You know what I mean? Like, for sure.
So I think that's why we're so careful with what we say.
For sure.
Where like, even if I'm talking to a girl or whatever outside of our guy group, I'm still going to be like my mental health journey, you know, because I have to. I have to put that up there and be like, I know this is like a pansy thing. It's so hard to drop that. You can't drop that.
Yeah.
But as long as you're doing the work,
who cares? Yeah, I love what you said. It's like, I'm doing that without having to say that. Yeah, I don't have to say that.
I don't have to be like, I'm not even going to do it again.
Yeah, because maybe it is that, like when you say it, that label that invites all like these other things, whether it's, you know, the jokes or whatever, or that feeling that you're like, ugh, you know, that cringy feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, but again, like me saying it in that way also, like I've now said it, but I'm protecting myself from it.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Oh, it's so lame to say this. I know it's terrible, but my mental health journey.
Exactly.
But now I've gotten the words out there and we're discussing it. You know what I mean?
So yeah.
Yeah. It's fine. Yeah.
It's fine.
It's fine, man. Just say it in a dumb voice.
Yeah, yeah. But it's interesting how you said, like, if I say it in that way, I can say what I want.
Yeah.
But I am protecting myself. You know, you still might get like attacked, but you've taken the energy out of that attack. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, you're still gonna get something, but it's not gonna be that. Yeah. Like, exactly.
If I ever said in the group, you know, now just going on my mental health journey, like I feel,
game over.
But if I say like now just doing my mental health journey,
mm-hmm.
I feel so much better, so-and-so.
Yeah.
You will get away with it.
Yeah, you can sneak it. You can slip through.
As long as they know that you know.
Yeah, yeah. Everyone knows.
How everyone perceives it.
Exactly. You know what I mean? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Very true.
Yeah. Because none of them actually perceive it that way.
Sure, yeah.
It's just you can't just say that. You know? You can't just say that and expect me to get away. Dude, you had appendicitis and we drilled you for it. You know?
You got it for the people.
Till now.
Yeah, yeah. For the people who don't know, not only did they, when I had appendicitis, they were shitting on me and calling me like a pansy or whatever. And like I ended up going to hospital and getting surgery, which is fine. And I never took that negatively. But what I loved, and I saved this, just to show, this is a perfect example of guys and how guys show love. So they all came, visited me in the hospital after the surgery. They got me pink balloons and they got me a card that says, congratulations, it's a boy.
It's a girl.
And they had all signed it just to show you. That's like, and I till this day have that card. I love it. And it's hilarious. And they said what they wanted. You said what you wanted to
That's
say.
That's them doing my mental health journey.
Exactly.
By
exactly.
being like, here's some balloons, but it's a girl, lol. Like,
I love
it. Oh, it's like, oh, we care about you. Here are some balloons. Here's a card.
Yeah.
We all signed it.
Yeah.
But like,
we have to make it funny to remove that. Like,
you can't take the say it.
Yeah, yeah. I get you.
That's the thing. That's what
maybe that's the problem.
I mean, that's what I find fascinating, though, is like, when, if people did that for me, if the guys did that for me, I'd be like, I'd laugh about it. I'd, you know, whatever. And then when they leave and whatever, I look at them like, oh, like they care about me. Like they love me. You know what I mean? You do get the message across. You just gotta.
It's how it's delivered.
Yeah. You can't just, my mental health journey. Like,
I get you.
You know?
Yeah. 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 Amun, this has been so much fun, bro. I've been wanting to, because we've had over like the years, me and you've had some like deep talks, and this guy and his fucking grammar police bullshit.
I had to,
Of course you did. And even I think that our last conversation in the car is what sparked the idea. I'm like, I want Amin to come on the show and I want us to have this kind of discussion, because I knew it'd be good. And it's been so much fun and it's been really, really interesting. I've learned a lot from you about like thinking about things in different ways that I hadn't considered before. So I have a closing tradition on the show. If you've listened to the podcast, you know what's coming. So reflecting back, either personally or professionally, if I ask you the question, what are you most proud of? What would you say?
Oh boy. Proud of myself for forgiving myself for a lot of things and going to therapy and learning, you know, like it's genuinely one of the hardest things I've had to do. So I'm proud of it. I'm happy with that. Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome, man. And you should be, it's not easy. And I think taking that first step, like even listen, how you're describing it earlier, even though like maybe you didn't get anything from it, but you're like, I did it. And dude, that's an insane feeling.
I was happier than I had been in years. I swear to
that's
God.
That's beautiful, man. I'm so happy for you. Insane. That's amazing.
Yeah. I'm so happy for you.
That's awesome, man. And I think, you know, a lot of people can relate to, you know, that kind of struggle and, you know, going through that process. So kudos to you. And inshallah, all comes to what you're looking for. And for my last question, what is the message that you'd like everyone to take home with them today?
Oh boy. Love yourself, man. Just, you know, it's hard to do a lot of time, but love yourself and get to know yourself, you know, better, I guess you could say. And don't be afraid to go get help. Yeah. And go Leafs go. Playoffs. Hockey. No one watching this is going to get it. But playoff hockey, baby. Round two for the first time in 20 years. Anyway,
I
have to get that in there. Yeah.
It's fine. Man, beautiful message. I think everyone can relate to that. I think everyone at some point, you know, I think we're very hard on ourselves a lot of the time. And it's always good to have that kind of message as a reminder that, you know, just keep doing what you're doing and figure it out.
Yeah.
Amun, thanks so much, Habibi, for coming on the show. This has been so much fun. Guys, Amin is a fantastic, you know, producer and filmmaker. So if you guys want to get in touch with him, what's the best place? What's the best way for people to get in touch with you if they want to work with you?
Email?
Email? Okay.
I don't know. I forgot about this. Mm. Don't get in touch with me. Just leave me alone. Contact Khaled. He'll talk to me.
All right, guys, it's fine.
I can't just give out my email and my number. I feel weird. It's right. Fine.
No, it's not, of course. Yeah. If you want to get in touch with Amin, just
leave it in the comments.
Yeah, we'll put it in the comments, put it in the show notes. Just get in touch with me and I'll link you guys. To everyone listening, guys, thank you so much. And as always, hope it helps. Peace.